Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hello.
Thanks for waiting.
Hello, Cynthia?
Yes.
Paula?
Yes.
This is Dan Stewart from Evansville, Indiana. It's been a few weeks since I've called into the show, and I'm not sure where Paula's from. She's like a local business person or something like that? Or?
She's a city councilor.
Oh, I'm sorry, city councilor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's also
excellent. Then you are definitely the person that I'd want to ask my question
to. And in her work, she is a
mental health clinician.
Right.
Oh, mental health. I work in the mental health field myself.
Yes, and I used to live in Muncie, Indiana.
Oh, really? It's a nice town.
Yeah.
And you two just reminisce about yourself,
okay.
And I'll just sit here.
Okay. Well, you know, with the recess, I'm sorry, ladies, I did not mean to interrupt.
Okay.
With the recession going on, everybody out there is having to tighten their belts. Cynthia, I'd like to know where they're in Keene, where you'd like to see, and I mean something significant, not just a toss people a bone there, because I want to move to Keene. I really do. I want to see where you, as a member of local government, can see yourselves tightening your belts there as well. I mean, cutting. I mean drastic, too, because I've had to cut some drastic stuff here. I don't make that much money living on a salary working in a group home.
Yeah, right.
I've had to make some cuts myself. And people just cannot afford to fund the level of government that we can to this particular level. So where do you see yourself as someone there in Keene as a leader? You know, since you're not working there in the free market, you're working, you know, I'm talking about your city council job, that you are working in the public sector.
It's a part-time volunteer position.
Okay.
It's $2,000 a year. That we
do. Volunteer. I'd love to get some volunteer position where I can make $2,000.
Really?
I wouldn't call it. Yeah.
I think it works out to like 90.
No, but quite honestly, in the past, I voted against even getting a salary because the $2,000 usually won't make a difference whether people run for office. So,
mm-hmm.
So I would be willing to cut city council salary, which would save $30,000.
Right. And I have recommended that not recently, but
yeah.
I recommended it right after I was on the council for 12 years,
okay.
Was gone for four. I recommended it when I came back, and
right.
I took a
okay.
real dressing down for
right,
that.
Right,
I mean,
okay,
really embarrassing.
Okay, $30,000. That's good. That's good. It's not, it's not part of a big chunk, in my opinion. You know, in my voluntarist, limited government type of opinion, it's not, to me, a really significant. Where do you see yourselves really significantly slashing the budget there? I mean, saving the taxpayers a real bundle and everything.
Well, first of all, it's a little premature because the city budget has not come out yet, so we don't know where the opportunities or non-opportunities, depending on how you look at it, may be to cut. We're currently working on the capital improvements budget,
mm-hmm.
which is a 5 or 6 year plan for capital expenditures over the next 5 or 6 years. And that, where we had a public hearing on that Thursday evening. We're going to review it one more time at Finance and Organization and Personnel Committee this coming Thursday. And then the FOP committee will be making recommendations, and the council will vote on them the following week.
But I'm curious, why, caller, are
what
you interested
think?
In Keene at I'm sure you've probably heard that Keene allegedly has one of the highest property tax rates. So is there a reason you chose Keene, or you're thinking about Keene as opposed to another community?
Oh, well, definitely Keene, because it's a community where there is a lot of good media going on. There's a lot of great activism going on. There's a lot of fertile ground to plant the seeds of peace and freedom and
okay,
non-aggression.
But,
yeah,
but
I'm one of them guys.
No, but
are you
why
a free
not?
Stater?
Hmm?
Are you a free stater?
Well, I don't know. I haven't signed up for the Free State Project, so I would say that I'm not a free stater.
No. But in general, why Keene? Why not Portsmouth or some other places which would meet the same criteria, which may be lower property taxes or?
Perhaps I can take a shot at reducing those property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe try to
generally
run
what
for
area?
Public office or something
that, where
that.
Do you think the cuts should be made?
Yeah.
Or,
generally, in what area do you think cuts should be? I know you don't know the specific budget, but just in a general.
I'd say city services. any services that can be privatized.
Like,
and I'd
for
say
example?
Not.
For example, what?
Oh, well, I'd say police services. They could be replaced with competitive security services where you could...
And who's going to pay for that?
Well, the people that well, you guys pay for garbage pickup privately here in Evansville, Indiana. We don't even have that to even mention it down here. They go.
The city
really
should go out to bid. Is what you're saying? The city should go out to bid for police services.
Well, but not police services necessarily as you think of them. I'm talking about some real deal security services where the policemen
kind of like Blackwater, kind of like how efficient it was in Iraq with Blackwater.
Oh, well, that's not that's a socialist government type of thing, and it's something that we were forced to pay for and stuff.
It was an independent doing exactly what you're suggesting, that apparently they didn't trust the military to provide those kinds of services.
Well,
and they went out and they hired, as you suggested.
Well, they should be in Iraq in the first place. So.
Well, I agree with you there.
I do, too. No argument. So let me just paint the scenario for you for just one second, and then we will have to move on to another call. But we have, say I decide that I am going to start a police security force, and Paula decides that she's going to start a security force, and you decide that you're here and you're going to start a security force. So are we going to use all three security forces?
Sure, why not?
And what? And who's going to pay for these?
The people that could contract with like a neighborhood. Whenever you pay your dues to, say, a neighborhood association, you would get certain services and everything. I mean, some really good competitive services.
But our neighbor
would be like a condominium. In other words, right. Condominiums have fees that they pay every month, and it pays for all kinds of stuff. So we should just include police services in the condominium fees.
Sure, why not? You'd have somebody patrolling around there that's a nice person.
We already have that, and that's called the city government. It's a large condo which the citizens are part of.
You got something inefficient and often mean. I mean, if you don't believe me, you can ask that poor fellow. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't ask him. He was shot by the cops on the BART system and everything. So do you want that? You don't want that.
But you're assuming our police department is like some other...
No, I'm just saying, do you want it to get to that point? Do you? No,
but
you don't.
But
I don't think it will.
You're a decent person. I certainly hope it won't.
Well...
I believe in peace and voluntarism.
I think there are things probably that could be done better. They could be done by the private industry. And one of the things that we do here in town, as you mentioned, is garbage pickup.
Mm-hmm.
If people want garbage pickup or trash pickup, they call their local trash hauler. They say, I will pay you so much a month or however much you charge, and they get their trash pickup.
Right.
But I think that's a far, far cry from fire services or police services.
Yeah, well, they had fire services that were private at one time and everything.
And you had to have a little disc on your house and that you paid for. And if you didn't pay for the little disc on your house, the fire department came and said, oops, they don't have a disc, and they stood there and watched it burn.
Oh, well, do you think that would happen nowadays? Do you think they wouldn't just send you a bill? Well, you know, if I needed an ambulance and stuff to pick me up if I was sick, they would go, oh, geez, let's check this guy's insurance and make sure he's got Blue Cross, or we're just going to let him bleed to death there. No, they're not going to do that.
But if my house burned and they sent me a bill, chances are I couldn't afford to pay them because... my house was gone, and so was everything in it.
Well, you know what? If you paid as part of living in a particular neighborhood and stuff as part of your thing, you guys keep thinking that government is some kind of magic. You put all the ingredients in the pot and you stir it, and because the people that run it call themselves government, some kind of magic pops out. No, it's just people administering things.
But you know what? We know that government in Keene works.
Okay,
we know that they're honest because Paula and I and 13 other people, plus the people that we, the council, hired to oversee the rest of the government, we know who they are, we know that they're honest, and we keep an eye on what they're doing. So it works.
Well, I don't know,
on a national level, that's a whole other thing. But on a local level, it works.
So it's always efficient, and it's always good, and it's always right.
No.
I think it's as efficient as it can be. And you know what? I'm sorry, but we have to move on to another call.
Of course
call,
you do. You don't want to talk to me. And what about...
I've talked to you for a long time. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning, ladies. It's Ian from freekeen.com.
Good
How are
morning.
You doing?
Tag teaming, huh?
Hey, I don't know about that, but I'd like to say that Dan should be kind of ashamed of himself for complaining about not getting enough time at the end of his call. I felt like he was on there for at least 10 minutes.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
See, that's what happens in an unregulated society.
this is actually
not a fair distribution of goods.
Well, you're on private property right now on the radio station's airwaves, and you get to control your show, so it's totally private property. Anyway, I wanted to kind of expand on some of the things you were talking about there. Dan was kind of talking about how he would like to see more private or market-based versions of many of the services that government currently provides today. And you were pointing out, Cynthia, that from your perspective, it's fine. Everything's working fine. You guys are doing things as well as you can, and the people that you work with are honest. These are the things that I heard you say. And I believe that from your perspective, that's probably true. And I think that most of the people that I've met in the city have been very sincere. However, I think that what Dan's concern is and what a lot of other people's concern is that they may see things in the city government that they don't agree are fine necessarily. And so, therefore, they perhaps, like me with government schools, are not interested in paying for them. Mm-hmm. The problem is, you guys will take their house from them and possibly harm them if they choose not to pay. Whereas in the marketplace, if I don't want to pay for a certain school, I don't have to. I could take my money and put it into one of the schools that has sort of the educational system that I believe is most effective. And the other schools in town wouldn't be able to come throw me out of my house because of that. So do you see the difference? You know, government is essentially a violent monopoly, and the marketplace, people interact on a voluntary, consensual basis. So I think that what we're really hoping to happen here, that we're working towards, is just getting you guys to give up the violent monopoly and start operating like everybody else.
Well, I would exchange the word violent for enforced or dominant or aggressive, but violent is not the right word to describe government.
Okay, aggressive is fine.
In the history of Keene that I'm aware of has anyone...
I mean, we don't shoot you if you don't pay your taxes.
...been shot for not paying their taxes.
Come on now.
Or even locked up. I don't know that anyone has ever been locked up for not paying their taxes.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, if let's follow this line of logic just for a moment. For instance, if I don't pay property taxes because I'm... protesting the government schools.
Yeah.
Eventually, you'll tax sale the house.
Yeah.
Somebody will buy it from you because apparently it's actually your house, not mine.
Right.
They'll buy it from you. You'll sell it to them. I'm going to say, well, wait a minute. This is my house. I paid for it. I own it outright. How dare you sell it out from underneath me? We'll go back and forth. And then, of course, you'll send men with guns calling themselves the police, many of whom I've met, and they're great guys. They're just doing a job that, unfortunately, eventually could result in hurting innocent people. They'll come here, and they'll tell me to get out. And if I don't get out, then that's when the weapons come out, ladies.
No. So have you had a weapon drawn on you with your run-ins with the police? Have they ever drawn a weapon?
Why would I have gotten to that point? I'm not interested in having a bullet put in my body.
No. My point, you're talking about violence, and I'm saying when police have shown up, were you ever in that situation when
have you not paid your taxes?
And had the police shown up to your house?
Thank goodness I've not had that situation happen.
Oh, I'm sorry. However, I misunderstood you. I thought you said you had the police come and...
No, I haven't had that happen.
Escort you
to
court.
Because I've jumped through the hoops that are necessary, because I understand that it is a constant threat against my freedom, that could happen. For instance, the whole situation with the couch thing, if I had decided that I didn't respect the authority of the court and didn't bother to show up for the court date that they set without my consent, then they would send men to my home to serve a failure to appear warrant on me. So if as soon as you stop consenting at a certain point, men with guns do come for you. It's the truth.
Well, people, maybe they're women, but but they would not use it. They would not use a gun unless...
Why would you believe that to be the case? If I did not want to cooperate with them, what do you think they'd do? If they had some sort of club, they might club me or something like that. They may try to avoid using the gun, but eventually...
Well, even in the situation with the Browns, neither of them were shot.
thank goodness they weren't shot.
But they're the most egregious. I mean, from my perspective, they were the most egregious example where they were barricaded and the police didn't storm in there, even though they allowed them to be there for months and months
thank
and months.
Thank goodness they didn't.
But doesn't that belie
their lesson to some extent?
That belies your contention that if you do not abide by what is the rule of the where you live, violently you're going to be taken. And so what I would suggest is they allowed that situation to go on for months and months. They had visitors. They were self-sufficient. They were off the grid, apparently. So my point to you is you gave that to me is the most extreme example, even more than your couch, that violence wasn't used, even though
hold on a second.
It had festered.
Let's look at the situation. Do you know how it is they brought in Ed and Elaine Brown?
Right. They had someone that posed as a friend of someone that contacted them on the
right.
Internet.
They used deception
to
pretend as though they were a friend. They
right.
went in there. They had a little pizza party. And during
right.
the pizza party, several of the men actually turned on Ed and Elaine and then arrested them.
Right.
If Ed had pulled the 1911 from his belt and you know decided to defend his freedom, what do you think would have happened then?
Then they would have drawn their guns.
Yes.
So it would have been who blinks first.
Hold on, Paula. How can you sit there and say that this was not a violent situation? It was not an aggressive act.
No, I'm saying they didn't go in preemptively and fire on these people where they could have from day one.
They tried to do it peaceably.
I understand you're giving them credit for holding back on their
right.
level of violence.
And you're saying
it doesn't make the act any less violent. Do you understand
but
that?
But no, under your scenario, is that the Browns would have acted violently first, and they
right.
would have reacted.
Ian, we do
wait
have
a
another
wait,
phone call.
Wait, hold on. You don't think it's violent for somebody to rush you and grab you and put your hands behind your back?
You are saying it's situationally violent, that if the Browns had acted first, the police would not have been justified in responding.
The Browns weren't acting first.
They were on their
own property when they were jumped by the police. The police were the aggressors.
Well, they're aggressive, but they're not violent.
What does that mean?
Ian, we have to move on to somebody else.
Have a nice morning. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
We are
going to stop for some messages. You are listening to Talk Back on the news station. WKBK 1290 AM in Keene. We'll be back. Good morning, you're on Talk Back.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. I was just wondering why you would allow the gentleman who is streaming the program, lives out of state, 10 minutes of your valuable time to talk about destroying the city of Keene. This is not me being critical of you. I'm just saying,
I know.
I think you have the perfect right to say to this gentleman, why don't you call up one of your local radio stations and not take up, you know, the valuable time of the citizens of Keene who really want to talk about issues that mean something to them.
Well, sometimes I do that depending on what we're talking about, and sometimes I just, you know, they get talking and it's tough to interrupt.
I know.
My mother taught me not to interrupt, and I guess she taught me well.
Well, yes, but at times when people, the whole idea of his phone call is to destroy everything that we have in Keene.
Right.
I think you have a right at that point to say, I disagree with you and I'm sorry. We have local people, citizens of our city who, you know, enjoy what's going on and you know, maybe we have a difference of opinion, but we actually have a right to then express the opinion. I don't think that gentleman had didn't deserve the time on your show. But
let me ask you one thing. As an average listener, a person
mm-hmm.
who listens, I know you call, so I know you listen
mm-hmm.
semi-regularly at least. How would you feel about my having a couple or maybe one of the free staters on for an hour or so? And
to be honest,
yeah.
I would resent it, but that's
okay. What I'm trying to find out.
I believe Fred Parcells did this one time.
I actually had Ian Bernard on Freeman, sorry.
No, I resent it because, if the whole idea of your program is to promote our city and what's happening and to get feedback from the citizens, the last thing I want to hear is somebody who's out to destroy the city.
Well,
my thing is let him move someplace else if he's not happy. But also, now my question is, Ian, does Ian have some kind of a public forum, like a radio show?
He has a radio program on this station on Saturday night.
Okay, why then would he be given the time during your program to call in? It's sort of like having Al Kulis get off of his program and then call your program and argue with you about, you know, gun rights. And it just doesn't make sense to me that Ian has the right to have time for to have his own program, to have his own website, and then to take up your time and my time espousing his ideas again. This should be for just ordinary citizens who don't have a way to get their opinions and viewpoints out.
Well, I guess he is an ordinary citizen with some extraordinary ideas, not extraordinarily good or bad, they're not ordinary ideas.
I'm not saying his ideas are fine, but he has his own public forum. He has his own radio show.
Right.
He should not call up your radio show.
But I think he wants to reach a different audience.
But again, he does it every week. He has other people from his, with his viewpoints call. And I really resent when he talks about the law enforcement officers and he talks about them harming people and being violent. And then, you know, you gave him the word aggressive government and he uses it at gunpoint. I'm pretty sure I was at at the post office when one of the Free Staters was trying to force the police officer to use some kind of force on him. There was a gentleman was trying to go up the stairs in the post office. Some police officers were there and asking him to come with them. And this gentleman was in their face, getting as close to them as possible, like almost bumping them. And at that point, I mean, I would hope that the police would do their job and arrest this man. And if he's causing them to use force, I have no problem with that.
Right.
You know, that's what we pay the officers to do, to enforce the law. But honestly, this gentleman just, he insults the city of Keene. He insults the good job that the councilors do, that the mayor does, and especially he insults the police enforcement officers. And that's really not fair. And he has his own format to do that.
It's not fair, but is this not what the country is about? And, I mean, aren't we glad that we can disagree with the government? And
that's great. But again, ordinary citizens like me, we have 3 hours on a Saturday to do that. I don't have my own radio show at night.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I think one of the things is sometimes there's not another call queued up.
And I'll be calling as
no,
soon
seriously.
As I hear Ian.
Okay. Seriously, when you hear a caller go on and on, anyone can call in, but if there's no other caller lined up, I guess
you might have noticed, though, I was there for probably the last 3 minutes of
right.
his phone call. Because,
oh, right. Yeah.
And again, I'm just saying that he wants to call in. Give him 2 minutes. He's got an hour or more. I'm not sure how much time he has on Saturday night. I've caught his show and was appalled by what I was hearing, but that's okay.
So,
I turned it off.
Right. Was this what you mainly wanted to call in about, or was there another issue as well?
No, that was basically
Okay. I just want to make sure you got to say what you were...
No, I mean, again, if I want to, I know I can go on his website. I know I can listen to his radio station. I really don't think I have to listen to somebody whose main purpose is to destroy the city government of Keene and the police. When he has his own format, that's basically
And you know what else?
Yes.
Because Forrest, who is our producer, doesn't have enough to do.
he's going to be the bouncer.
He's making terrible faces at me. We are going to ask him from now on to time the phone calls, and when it gets to be 2 minutes, he's going to let me know so that...
Well, at least there's somebody who has his own radio show. Yeah.
Unless it's something that I agree with or am interested in, then they can talk longer.
Unless they're singing her virtues.
You're right.
Well, listen, that's what I call... The two of you, I think, do a wonderful job. Honestly, whether you make $2,000 or not, you couldn't be paid enough money for the time that you put in.
Well, there you go.
But thank you so much.
And if we were the citizens would complain. Thank you.
All right, goodbye now.
Bye-bye now. 357-1290, 1-866, 357-1290. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. All right. My name's Jesse Maloney. I'm actually part of Free Keene, but I'm not calling like they call to talk about something. I'm actually calling about something that's kind of specific to me. In particular, I don't know what's really happened to it. I haven't heard much about it since maybe Tuesday. If anything has happened between now and then, but the law, I think that's just trying to be passed in the city about messy lawns, and it's kind of...
You're talking about disorderly housing. They're talking about...
Disorderly houses.
Right. They're talking about not just that you have a wrapper on your lawn, but, you know, some people have old TVs or just health hazards kind of...
Allowed drunken people.
But the part I think the caller's talking about, is that what you're talking about, the messy lawn kind of thing?
Messy lawns. Like the way me and my landlord discuss it, like, you know, we're both very much opposed to it. But I was thinking that if Keene was the city of Keene, or at least the council members, were so very intent on creating incentive to keep people's houses clean, why not a tax break? I mean, times are getting tough.
Legally, we're not. By the way, I had inquired about giving, say, people in fixed incomes, whether there could be a tax differential. And by state statute, you're not allowed to differentiate like that. It has to be a state law that allows that to happen. So we can't arbitrarily decide if you keep a immaculate house that you pay less taxes. If you were on a fixed income and made $10,000 a year, but your taxes were $11,000, there's nothing that the city could do because of the state statute.
There are some exemptions for elderly, disabled,
and
blind,
veterans,
that sort of thing, but not
but
for
the
condition of your house.
Right, but that's set by the state,
right.
not the city.
And by disorderly houses, I just want to make sure that you understand, it doesn't mean that you have a dirty kitchen. It means that the people... For the most part, that the people in the house are disorderly, that they don't...
But there is a provision for
littering on the lawns and things like that.
And what's happening is not only the particular property, but they are often thrown like beer cans on like property line. In other words, it migrates over to the
neighbors.
But also that there could be a health hazard when you have that much garbage out there with rats or other...
Right.
So that's really what it's meant for, not for the aesthetics.
And that's why I think it's taking so long to go through the council process, is that people on the council are just generally looking at it and trying to tweak it a little bit to make it more acceptable to everyone. You know, we want to keep the people that are disorderly to be less so, and yet we want, you know, to allow people their freedoms as well, and I think that's the problem.
And it's not just for landlords, by the way. It's for any property owner.
Right.
Well, I understand that. I mean, it's just it affects me most because I don't go to college, and neither do my roommates. We're just we work mostly, but are the guys that live below us? They're part of a fraternity. So I mean,
you getting any sleep?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're good about it. They whenever I ask them to turn it down, they turn it down. But the point I was going to make is that the cost eventually comes back down to me. I mean, the cost of anything that might happen is going to be absorbed up in my rent costs. So I like, and it's not just me. It's going to be anybody that's renting, and they might have a disorderly home, something like that. And I understand what the idea behind it is. I just think that punitive action is hardly ever the way to go. I mean. If you guys are going to act like parents and be like, clean up your room, I think most child psychologists would say that the best way to do it is positive reinforcement. If you want to do something, you should do positive reinforcement.
It's not clean up your room, it's clean up your act.
Yeah. Well, but to your point, a lot of these places, of all these citations, there's about 7 in all of Keene. There's been a lot of more complaints than 7 complaints. But... And you know, say, like, in my neighborhood, there was a TV sitting out. Actually, it was on the city property. But anyway, it was sitting out with the screen kicked in, so it's an unusable. So the people, they happen to be college students, but I also have people that aren't college students living in the neighborhood. So I knocked on the door, and I said, are you aware that you're not supposed to leave this, that the trash hauler's not going to pick it up? And they were very polite. They put it on their porch in the front, so it's sitting there, but it's not offensive. You know, So those kinds of things are not going to be enforced. And I think people have the idea that if you have a few beer cans on your lawn, that immediately you're going to be penalized. What's been the problem for a lot of these neighborhoods is particularly for the owner not to be either living on site or even living in the community And so they're impossible to contact when a complaint is made. So it's not just a matter if inadvertently, like you, the guys below, you have a party one night and it's pretty messy out there. And that's the only time it happened, and then they eventually clean it up. I mean, you'd be pretty upset if you're living in the apartment and you couldn't drive back out of your drive your car out there if there's glass all over the driveway, right? I mean, when they left the house, they just left all their furniture out in the lawn.
And basically, a disorderly house is defined under the law, if you will, as a house or place where residents or inhabitants behave in such a manner as to become a nuisance to the neighborhood. So it has to be a nuisance to the neighborhood before there's a problem.
I mean, that just seems so very... that seems almost as arbitrary as not being allowed to give people tax breaks, but which is for having a clean place. I mean, but it... This isn't really a point I wanted to argue so much as just throw it out there for consideration that, you know, punitive actions never really seem to fix things, and it's kind of a positive reinforcement of the idea that, you know, you get, I mean, I'm just going to point out, who doesn't like a tax break? I mean, I know I certainly do. So it's kind of, I mean, and Keene has, I think, what, the second highest property taxes in the state?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, yeah, so it just seems
right up
so,
there.
It just seems, it may be like, going about it of the whole punitive action way is really the wrong idea.
But shouldn't it be the property owner? In other words, if I'm renting to you and you keep an immaculate place and there's never a complaint, why wouldn't I give you the tax break and penalize the people who are making the trouble? And that's what I'm saying. Maybe that's the way for the owner to take that responsibility, doing exactly what you said, that you should go to your landlord and say, hey, the guys below me are creating all this mess, but I'm a perfect renter. So I agree with you.
And in the long run, I suppose, if you're worried about your taxes going up because there's a fine involved or a point system involved, I mean, you could go out and pick up their beer cans. Is that fair? Absolutely not. But it's one way to handle the situation is you and your roommates just go out and clean up after the guys downstairs.
And to that point, by the way, the reason we started these penalties were for that very reason. Why should any of us have
right.
to pay? So it's kind of like if you violate it and cause extra services to be required, i.e. people going out to inform you, then you should have to pay for that. In other words, the whole city shouldn't have to pay for it. And by these fees or fines, it's paying for these services so the rest of us benefit.
All right. I mean, I can't say I agree with the economics of it, but I don't want to get into a long discussion about that here. And I think
and we have another call. So
I'll end it there, yeah.
Tell your landlord to reward you for your good behavior.
Yes.
All
righty. Thank you. Bye-bye now. 357-1290-1866, 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning, YouTube ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
There's no guys there, right?
No, just us.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a Renaissance guy.
Yeah, it's not about cleaning up your room. It's about cleaning up your act.
And yes, that's what I said.
That's where I got the quote from. And I think you ought to bring on a couple of free staters on the radio so we can hear some more, because sometimes they like almost like attack you, whoever you are on with,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't seem fair. And I think they shouldn't be so attackative. If that's even a word, towards the radio host, because we're all enjoying the message, but we don't actually agree with it. And bring them on. Let's hear them. Let's hear some more. I'll let you go.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Have they invited you on their show, Cynthia?
No.
Maybe we should. Maybe we'll get an invitation.
I think they invited Fred.
Did they?
357-1290, 1-866, 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning, ladies. It's Sam from ObscureTruth.com.
Hi, Sam. 2 minute call.
I am stunned at your conversation with Ian.
Okay.
You really don't connect the dots between government action and the use of force or violence. I mean, you don't see any correlation there?
Well, I just think if people follow the rules, it doesn't happen.
I don't think it's unprovoked. I don't think the aggressive, whatever force is used, is precipitated. I don't think they preemptively use force and ask questions later.
Right.
So what if we pass a law that says we're going to sell your house and kick you out on the street, sell off all your possessions, and we do this nice process. And it's all legal, and we use the men with guns, but if you resist, then you're the one initiating the force. Isn't that almost what you're saying?
Well, I guess it depends on why you're doing that.
Because you believe that you haven't hurt anyone, that you haven't caused any harm, and that there's really nobody has a valid cause of action against you.
I mean, why are they coming after me in the first place? What have I done? Or not?
Well, if you haven't hurt anybody, do you feel that they are justified in coming after you?
If I haven't hurt anybody, but they're not going to come after me if I haven't hurt anybody.
Let's talk about the trash on the lawn. Is that hurting anybody? Now, granted, it's unsightly. I don't want to live next to a neighbor who has garbage piled out in his front yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I should have to, you know, like in Jesse's case, go downstairs and clean up the beer cans after the neighbors. That's another unintended consequence of government force. You talk about, well, the police have to come out and fix this up. No, the police have to come out because of this law that's been passed, which has caused this unintended consequence, and that's the way government works.
But it's hurting me as a neighbor because it's devaluing my house. It's hitting me right in the pocketbook.
How does what your neighbor does on his private property devalue your house?
Because if my house is for sale and someone comes to buy it and they look and see what's next door, they're not going to buy it.
Okay, so then what is your solution for that problem? Use government to force people who haven't hurt anyone to clean up their house?
I'll use any means I can.
If I come into your house and steal something, have I hurt you?
Well, yeah, you're on private property.
No. Have I hurt you? That's your definition. Have I physically hurt you?
If you're not home
and I come in and take something out of your kitchen, take your spatula.
You take my spatula, Cynthia. I come home to cook dinner, and I can't cook dinner because my spatula has been stolen from me. So, yes, you have caused me harm.
But actually, it's helping the Domino's people.
No. I've caused you harm, but if you have trash in your yard and there's varmint or there's... You've also harmed me because you've taken economic value away from my house.
Right.
So you're stealing in the same way.
And there's our music.
All right, y'all win this.
Okay.
Thank you for conceding the point.
Yeah. Bye-bye, Sam. And you are listening to Talk Back on the news station, WKBK 1290 AM in Keene, New Hampshire. Good morning, you're on Talk Back.
Good morning. I've waited a long time.
And I'm happy to hear from you. You haven't called for a while. I was worried about you.
Well, you should know why I didn't call, because it's been this whole program.
Okay.
And because I can't hold my tongue, so I just don't pick up the phone and don't even turn the radio on.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Well, I now listen to all that nice talk, and I think they have their own program. They ought to keep to themselves. If they can't join in the rest of the world, and we all crab and complain about things in the world. We all pay our taxes. We all try to abide by the rules.
Right.
And that's my opinion.
Good morning. You're on Talk Back.
Hi. My name is Johnny Ray, and I'm a Free Stater, too. I sympathize with everybody who kind of resents people moving in and wanting to change the way they do business, because where I moved from, I'm from Asheville, North Carolina, and it was kind of a model, sort of a resort town, and a lot of Yankees moved in, and they wanted to zone our county and everything, and so I sympathize with all of the locals here.
I just have one question before you go any further, because we were talking about this off air, all of the three of us here in the studio. And why did you choose Keene? Why not go to a small town where you could really be a force? I mean, if all of you moved into a small town, I can't think of a small town, but if you all moved into a small town, you could really make a difference in the government of that small town.
Well, I guess I think of Keene as a small town.
Well, it's not. I mean, I don't think it is.
It's a pretty entrenched bureaucracy as opposed to some of the towns that don't have, say, fire, police, don't have the services that we hear the most complain about.
Right.
I guess, well, in that case, the reason for me personally was that when I was thinking of where I wanted to move to in New Hampshire, Keene seemed to be where the real
the other Free States were.
Not the Free Staters. I think most of them are in Manchester or Nashua or Concord.
Oh.
But Keene was where the Manchester people are all political types, and they want to elect people to office. And I don't think that that's a very effective way to get freedom.
Now, answer me truthfully. You really and truly moved here for the weather, right?
From Asheville. Although that can get cold.
It's bracing. I feel more of a man living up here.
Right.
You'll grow out of it after this year.
So I guess I called to just sort of say hello. You've got a really great program. And I'm enjoying it a lot. And
So you actually moved to Keene? You have actually moved to Keene?
I have. Yeah. I have moved to Keene. I will not. I won't divulge my street address.
No, we
don't want you to. Do you have a family?
But yeah, I live in Keene. No, I don't have a family.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. From what you've seen, how do you feel Keene runs as a city, as a group of people that?
As a city, I think it runs pretty well. The few times I've witnessed the police in action, they're respectful. They're nice guys, and it's a clean city. I've seen much more unsightly cities in my travels. I think it runs pretty well as a city, but I think it could be better.
Yeah,
as,
I think that's true.
A lot of free people acting.
Right.
Consensually.
But well, yeah. We all aim for improvement,
right,
so.
Right.
Anyway.
I'm optimistic about the future of the human race.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for calling.
Sure.
Yeah. Bye-bye now. Sure.
All right, one last comment.
Okay.
I wish the Free Staters only call when they have a new idea. To say the same thing over and over and over again every Saturday is inappropriate. And as far as I'm concerned, that 10 to 11 party show was a total waste today.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I know.
I've heard their opinion. I reject it. They're not willing to pay the price of what they want to do. You know, and passive resistance, the object of Gandhi and Martin Luther King, was to get arrested, fill the jails, and change public opinion. They're not willing to do that. So, if you don't vote and you don't want to get arrested, calling you up doesn't make a lot of sense
That's
to me.
That's true. That's
right.
True.
I'm going to let you get some good callers on.
All righty. Thank
bye-bye.
You very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You feeling stimulated and recovered yet?
Full disclosure. You realize that I'm a long-time researcher and student of propaganda.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, not just the negative term, the propaganda.
Right.
Propaganda, information to influence people, not necessarily to elect a dictator, but to put across an idea. And I'm impressed at how the Free Staters are so aware of the effectiveness of talk radio, which gives the public an impression that they are much larger and more effective than they actually are.
Yep.
Also, that leads me to an extreme reluctance of the other people, especially in my regard, the progressives, who just don't phone in.
It's true.
Don't phone in. And I beg them to get off their fingers and start dialing. It reminds me of my experience overseas time and time again that I have talked to people who have lost their freedom of expression, mm-hmm. lost their opportunity to express their opinions. And time and time again, they've said to me, Bill, I really wish I had spoken up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really wish that I had spoken up. Now, there you are, 3 hours every Saturday, and I don't hear a progressive talk.
Well, or a peace guy.
Lady who,
the peace guy.
There was a lady who talked a few persons ago who was very articulate and made a very strong case in the direction that I'm aiming. But I wish there should be a constant flow of calls from that sector. And I regret that there isn't. I really do.
Well, you know, it's amazing the number of people that I talk to during the week that will say, oh, I heard you on Saturday, and I almost called in.
Right.
You were talking about, but it reminds me of the ad that's on early in the morning. Sarah so-and-so lives alone in apartment 1B, and she almost had a hot meal.
Right.
So people almost.
Well, part of it, as I was trying to tell the caller, is that if there's not someone waiting to be on the air, then we'll talk longer with people. So if people start hearing people that they don't want to hear, if they would call up,
right,
it gives us a little bit more urgency to get that who's ever on off.
Exactly right. Exactly on point. And I wish there was more proactive activism in that regard.
Well, maybe you'll spur them on.
But well, I'm trying to, but you won't help me much.
I am.
But the other thing we were talking about off-air, too, was the Free Staters, or however they describe themselves, they're at least engaged in the process. And so I like that they're not just standing on the sidelines throwing stones and trying to literally burn down buildings.
Right.
So I do like that about that. You're right. They realize that this is a way to communicate. So they're working within the system. It's kind of an interesting phenomenon.
Look, the rule of law, as we all know, you know, rule of law 101 is one of the bastions of our freedom. And I just can't tolerate seeing what I've seen overseas, people going up and trying to provoke policemen into
terrible.
Right.
That they know. And the restraint that our keen police exercise in this regard is really outstanding.
Yes.
And this type of demonstration in public, carrying Uzi submachine guns and what have you, to me is out of the pale.
Yes,
that that to me cancels all the intellectual arguments they make. Where are the progressives? Come on.
Well, we'll give them our number again and see if they call.
Hey, I hope so.
All righty. Thank you so much. Bye-bye now. 357-1290, 1-866-357-1290. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
That's me?
That's you.
Oh, good. I wish you would emphasize to these people that Keene does not send the police to take your house. They put a lien on your house.
Right.
And then when you die or so on, then the house is sold. But they don't put you out on the street.
Oh, you know what? I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that either.
I think if you owe a certain amount of back taxes,
they can take your home.
They'll serve you a warrant of eviction, I guess, at some point.
Yeah, although mostly I think the homes that have been taken recently have been empty. Someone has died, and therefore no one has paid the taxes.
Yes,
and that's been the case in some.
That's what they do. They put a lien on and wait until you die or if you try to sell it.
Okay.
Then
there's not a certain period. I don't know if there's a certain period of time that they wait before they actually will.
I'm going to find out if that's exactly true. I'll talk to the city assessor and
because I think Mayor Blastos talked to one of the groups and mentioned that there.
Yeah, it's not like if you're a year behind in your taxes, you get thrown out in the street July 1st.
No. I think it's a lien that goes on your house. And they wait until you die or if you try to sell.
Okay. All righty. That's very interesting. And I will check and make sure that that's exactly the way it is or at least how it is. Thank you for calling, telling us that. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I just want to chime in to say that, you know, I think the Free Staters are a part of this community's life for better or worse. And so I think their voice should be heard just like anybody else's. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you do take the calls. You know, you have the discretion to decide how long you want those calls to be. You know, frankly, I do tend to, my mind sort of shuts off. Look, my mind even shuts off when the elderly gentleman who calls in and rants about Bush
right.
and the Iraq War. You know, I mean, and frankly, my brain turns off almost as soon as I hear his voice
mm-hmm.
because I know exactly what's going to be said
right.
yet again. You know, and I've got the picture. So, you know, that's up to you. What I think people make the mistake of doing in a way is sort of taking the bait by getting outraged by these folks because they really are, in terms of their actual effect, pretty insignificant.
Right.
You know, you're talking about people that have the same sort of level of sort of effect on our city's life as, I don't know, a frat,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're talking about two guys running this thing. You know, one guy is a sort of throwback to what we used to call in the 1960s a certain sort of radio announcer called a puker. You know, hi, 33 minutes after the hour, CCO, talk time, coming back at you.
Hey,
you know,
was that you in a past life? You're pretty
there
good
you
at
go.
This.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an old radio announcer type, you know, that he's trying to, you know, so it's self-aggrandizing, and so it makes him feel good. You know, more power to him, good for him. And then the other guy is a convicted murderer from Florida.
But he paid his dues. I mean, he paid his dues.
Yeah,
that's true,
but I have trouble relating to anybody who could take a murdered body and wrap it up in a rug and then drive the murderer to the airport so that he can escape. I mean, yeah, it's true. He paid his due legally, but I guess I have the right to look a little bit askance at the character of such person.
And you do. And he also has said publicly that he's sorry for that. It was at a different time in his life. And I'm just not sure that we should go on bringing this up every week.
Well,
I think he's trying to move past it.
Here's the deal. I mean, to some extent, I agree with you, Cynthia. I think you're right. But on the other hand, these folks do call in and make quasi-political moral observations about other people being violent towards
right.
them.
Right.
And so they open the door, I think.
Okay.
But I think, you know, my general point is this. It's like they are basically irrelevant to the city's life. They have no effect except, you know, these occasional displays of street theater that they engage in that get their tribe really, really excited, and they can blog about it and this and that, but nobody really cares. Look, the fact that they are so intent on a local call-in show on a Saturday morning in the little town of Keene, New Hampshire, that tells you something
yeah.
about the scope of their vision.
And it's although not, you know, they would consider it an insult, they're pretty law-abiding, actually,
right.
because they're working, like I said, they're working within the system to try and make an impact.
Yeah,
right. So,
for the most part.
You know, so they burn a flag or they stand around with pot in their pocket. Who cares?
Well,
yeah,
burning a flag is not against the law, pot in your pocket.
I
think they could accomplish more by standing out with a sign saying,
but that's what I'm saying. Even their civil disobedience, or they have three people throwing card games or poker or gambling.
I don't think accomplishing anything, though, is really the point.
No, no. It's a visibility and the, yeah.
Absolutely. It's an ego
buzz.
Trip.
Right? Yeah, it's about the buzz.
Yeah, it is about the buzz. And so let them have some of their buzz, but maybe not so much. But basically, why play into it?
Right.
By getting outraged? Because it's just like, it is like a five-year-old. You know, they're looking for a rise out of the adult.
That's what I've said right along, is they reminded me of my kids. That
yeah.
they, you know, would push and push and push until I lost it, and then they'd say, oh, my job here is done,
boy.
And move on.
Well, having grown up in the late 60s and 70s, you know, I mean, there's that part of them where, you know, you thought you were making a difference and you marched or you did
right.
sit-ins, you know, as part, may not have been effective, right. but.
And we've got to move on to another caller, but thank you so much.
All right, take care.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.